the England cricket selectors. Yeah? And they've come up to Graham and they've said, Graham, we know that you're a great cricketing fan. We respect your opinion and your judgment on cricket and that. And we're looking for the next cricket talent that's going to make the English team. And we've come down to Kent to see who you've got, who you will put in front of us. And so Graham sits there and he thinks, ah, I know who I've got. I've got my son. And so he calls his son up. James, come on, please. And he gets his son to walk along in front of the cricketing selectors. Hi, the name's Coombs. James Coombs. License to thrill. And the guy said, no, sorry, we don't want you, mate. So go and sit down. Aww. So they then said to Graham, they said, well, have you got any more boys than that? And he said, yes, I have. I've got another son. And his name is Phil. And Phil came up the front. And those of you who are old enough and remember the advert, Action Man is here. Yeah? So here he is, Action Man. And he walks in front of the selectors. And the selectors say, sorry, mate, we don't want you either. So go and sit down. Oh. So they say, well, are there any other men in your family, Graham? Are there any other men in your family?
There's some young men. A young man.
A young man. And what's his name?
Theo. Yes, I know.
Okay. And so there's Theo. And so Theo comes up the front. Come on, Theo. Thank you very much. Good man. Are you going to hold my hand? Thank you very much. That's it. Well done. And what are you wearing today, Theo?
The England kit.
The England kit. Is that the cricket one? Or football?
Football.
It's football, is it? Oh. That could be a problem, couldn't it? And so Theo comes in front of the cricket selectors. They say, that's the one. And the rest of the family say, but no, he's got a football outfit on. And they say, no, he's the one. He's going to be the next cricketing star of Britain. Now, I don't know whether you will be or not. I hope you are. But thank you ever so much, Theo. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. Francis, if you could come up here. Francis is going to read a story that many of you will know and probably some of you have guessed already from the Bible. Thank you, Francis.
So this is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look on the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse said, answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah.
What we've got there is we've got a story that many of us are very familiar with, and a story that is about mainly David. But I want us to look at it to start off with this morning about the fact that, first of all, the person that you've got in that story is actually Samuel. And Samuel was asked to go on a journey. He was asked to go somewhere. Basically, he didn't want to go. It's a bit like, you know, when you're asked to go somewhere by your wife or your husband and you don't want to go. For me, it is going to crockery shops, you know, china shops and that. If Helena sees one of those, my heart sinks because I'm thinking, I don't want to go there. Except for Samuel, it was a bit different to that, because what he was saying, what God was saying to him, was that he was saying, I want you to go on a route that's going to take you possibly near to where Saul lives, and you could get seen by him. And Samuel's saying, I don't want to. And the reason he didn't want to go there was that if you read back in chapter 15, he actually had just brought judgment on Saul. And he'd said to Saul, look, you have messed up big time with God. This is what he says. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings? This is Samuel speaking to Saul. He says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the Lord, the word of the Lord, he has rejected you. Not the best message to bring to the king of Israel at that time. And so what you've got there happening is that Samuel's just brought this message, and then God's saying, I want you to go, and you could actually go nearby where Saul is. And Samuel's saying, excuse me, I don't want to do that. What if he sees me? What if he, you know, bumps into me on the way? And so God says to him, well, take a heifer with you and, you know, tell them that you're going to make a sacrifice. So he does that. So the first thing that we see in this story, and this is the contrast between Saul and Samuel. The first thing that we see in this passage is the fact that Samuel was obedient to God. And you know, I want us just to think for a moment, because we've been hearing messages this morning. We heard from John, and what John was saying to us essentially was, it's about obedience to God or obedience to ourselves. And John was saying, I want to be obedient to God, to what God's speaking into my life. What Stephen is doing is that he is being obedient to God as well in going on that walk. Stephen, do you know what the 19th of November is, by the way? No? No, 19. It is actually the United Nations World Sanitation Day, or World Toilet Day. And if you are involved in assemblies or anything in school, it's a brilliant day to do assembly, because you can go in and talk to the children about toilets. They'll love that. It'll be the assembly that they remember this year about toilets, okay? And you can go in and talk actually about the importance of sanitation for our world and that. Steve would see me afterwards, because I've got... That sounds like the teacher there, doesn't it? Yeah. But I've got an idea of what we could do for in connection with that. Okay. Right. So, Samuel was obedient to God. The second thing that he did was he listened to God. Because actually... I'm so busy talking, I'm forgetting my PowerPoints. Wrong way. No, that's the wrong way. How do I do this? Down. Ah, right. No. Oh, yeah. There we go. Right. So we've done... Oh. I'm going to pack up with that. Thank you. Right, so what we've got there is that we've got Samuel listened to God. And you see, one of the things that we so often do is we judge a book by its cover. We look at it and think, that looks a nice book. Some of us here were on the theology course last weekend, and I think it was Barney Ridgewell said, my problem is I judge a book by its cover. And then when he actually looked inside of it, he realised that it was quite a good book. It looked a bit boring on the outside. But we tend to do the same, don't we? And so what you get there is you get Samuel, and first of all, the first of Jesse's sons comes in, and he thinks, he's a nice, good-looking young man. What my daughter would call fit, you know, and he was a fit young man, and he thinks he must be the one that God is going to choose. And God says no. So he has to listen. So then the second one comes along and he has to listen again. Then the third one comes and he does it seven times. Jesse puts seven of his children in front of him. And at this point, Samuel must have been thinking, I must have got this wrong. You know, God's told me to come and anoint one of these sons, and seven of them have been in front of me, and not one of them has God chosen. And there's a bit of a challenge for us there as well, isn't there? That, you know, sometimes we expect the first thing that's going to happen is the thing that God is going to speak to us about. And God says, no, it's not necessarily the first thing. It's not necessarily the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the seventh thing. And so Samuel then says to Jesse, he says, have you got any other boys? And they say, oh yeah, there's the one out in the field. And so they stand around, they're waiting and that for this lad to be brought in from the field. And then he hears the voice of God and says, that's the one. He's the one. And if we just stop for a moment and think, if Samuel hadn't listened to God at that time, supposing he had anointed one of the other sons and got it wrong, just think of the impact that would have had, not only on Jewish history, but on world history as well. So important for Samuel to get it right there. Because we know, looking back now, that Jesus was actually a son of David. And so Samuel, what he was asked to do there was absolutely crucial. And I wonder if we're coming to a point in our lives where we're thinking, I need to hear the voice of God. If you're a young person here this morning, maybe it's actually about career choices that you're wanting to hear the voice of God. University or college or something like that, and you're saying, I need to hear the God. Can I just encourage you? Keep listening. You know, if you don't hear of anything else this morning, keep listening. That's what Samuel had to do. He had to keep listening. And he listened as seven different brothers went in front of him. And God said no. To put it in today's terms, Stephen was telling us that he is graduating, hopefully this next summer. He's going to be doing his finals and everything like that. Where does Stephen go next? My advice to you, Stephen, and to any other young person here this morning, is keep listening to God until he says, that's the one. That's what I want you to do. If we could have the next... Oh, no, that's fine, yep. Okay, so what about David then? We ought to think a little bit about David. You see, if you think about David, what he was doing and what was happening at this time in his life, he was the shepherd of the family. He was the youngest of the family. He got the job of going out and looking after the sheep while his brothers stayed at home. In fact, he was so well liked by his family that when Samuel turned up and they start to get together to have this offering, this celebration together as a family, as they start to get, nobody thought, oh, what about David? We ought to go and tell David to come along and join us. No. What they did is they just left David out in the field. That's how much he was loved and respected by his brothers, by his family. He was left out in the field. And if you think about it, poor old David, he didn't have the best company. You know, he was there out in the field with the sheep. You can imagine it, Saturday night. Rod was telling me that he was out celebrating and, you know, last night. Well, what was David doing if it was Saturday night for him? He was sitting there with the sheep. Why was the sheep arrested on the motorway? Did a U-turn. Thank you very much. Yeah. What do you call a sheep with no leg? A cloud, you know. How many sheep does it take to knit a sweater? Sheep can't knit, can they? So, you know, this was the sort of the level of the conversation, perhaps, that David was having on a Saturday night with the sheep in the field. Hardly what you would call stimulating. And then, you know, I guess he smelt a bit as well, because living out with the sheep, he probably didn't bath that often. So although he might have had a lonely lot in life, God was still with him. And we know that from the rest of the story. We haven't got time this morning to look into that, but we know that that was an important part of his life. So although maybe his family weren't that interested in him, God was interested in him. And maybe this morning you're thinking, my family don't seem to be very interested in me. Can I just reassure you this morning that God knows all about you? Even if you're out in the field looking after the sheep by yourself, God knows all about you. And what God saw in David was not his outward appearance. But what God saw in him was his heart, and we see that in a moment. Now, as you read through this story, you get a sense of there being a building, a climax being built up there, because in verse 1, Samuel is told to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons. We don't know which one. He's not told at that time. In verse 11, it builds a little bit more because he says, Jesse tells Samuel that, oh, they're still the youngest, but there's no mention of his name. And then in verse 13, we find, so Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon David. At last, we find out his name. So from verse 1, one of Jesse's sons, through verse 11, the youngest, suddenly in verse 13, we find out who this person is. And you see, what the writer is doing here is he's building up. But it's not only the name that we find out about this particular son. Because we find out that this is the day that changed David's life forever. He woke up that morning and probably greeted the sheep. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You know, said good morning to them all. Probably had names for them and everything like that. And then, halfway through the day, or part the way through the day, we don't know what time it was, but part the way through the day, he was called to his dad's house. And he'd woken up a shepherd that morning, whose lot in life was looking after the sheep. And when he put his head down that night, he was the newly anointed king for Israel. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to just get a flavor of what that actually meant. As evangelical Christians living in the 21st century, we expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In David's time, that wasn't the expectation. The Spirit had been taken from Saul and given to David. And as far as we know, as far as we can tell from the Bible at that time, that's the only person that the Spirit was upon. We could argue that he was upon Samuel as well. But here specifically, it says that he was upon David at this time. And something happened to David that the rest of the family realized that the Spirit of God was upon him. We're not told what it was. We're not told how it came upon him, how the Holy Spirit came upon him on that occasion. But something happened, and they realized that there was a difference there. So we got David there, the seeing shepherd who was handy with a slingshot, and who, when God looked at him, saw that here was a shepherd who cared for his flock. Here was a shepherd who loved God. Here was a shepherd who was willing to risk his life for their safety. If we could have the picture now of the skeleton, yeah? That's the one, thank you very much, yeah? Because I want us just to think for a moment about the fact that God sees the inner person. The other day I was with my son, we were at the hospital, and he was having impressions taken for his braces, as youngsters do in these days. And there on the screen was an outline of Peter's face in X-ray form. And I was quite fascinated by this. I thought, well, it's not a side of my son that I see very often, his jaw and, you know, his teeth and all those things. But, you know, God sees the inner person. He saw, as he looked at David, he saw beyond his situation that he was there. Let's think about it. At the start of that day, it didn't look too bright for David. You know, woke up, looked after the sheep, and that's pretty much what my day's about. Didn't look very different on that particular day. But God saw something in him. In Acts 13, verse 22, it says, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" God looked at David. And what an amazing thing for God to say about him, that David is a man after his own heart. I don't know how you feel this morning. I don't know what kind of day you've had up until now. I don't know what your weekend has been like. But can I just say this? You and I are unique in the sight of God, because we are made in the image of God. As human beings, we are different from any other animal on this planet, because we are the only ones made in the image of God. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not only made in the image of God, you carry his spirit within you. And that makes us pretty unique and pretty special in God's eyes. You see, God saw beyond. Yeah, David was a handsome guy. Depending on which version you read, it says good looks, ruddy, those sort of things. He was a good-looking guy, but God saw something else in him. If we could have the next picture, please. So not only does God see the inside, he sees our potential as well. This would never be me. Or at least I don't think it would, because if you ask Helen about me and height, I'm not very good on heights. And, you know, I'm just go to pieces when I have to go up high things and that like that. But God can see the potential in each one of us this morning, just as he saw the potential in David. You know, it's like little Theo that we had up here earlier on. Graham and Deirdre, they've got hopes for Theo. Phil and Amy have got hopes for Theo. But it's God that sees the potential in Theo. It's God that sees that. And you see, Jesse didn't even see the need to bring David in from the field on that. He could see no potential. He's the youngest. He should be out looking after the sheep. That's the potential I have for my youngest son, David. He's going to be a shepherd, and that's as far as it goes. That was what he was in Jesse's eyes. And this morning, there are some of us who have perhaps been living under that curse, that our parents have thought, he's the youngest, she's not very good, she's not got the qualifications, he's not got the looks. They'll just do ordinary stuff. I'm not even going to say the sort of things because I don't want to put that on people. But can I say to you this morning, God sees beyond that. And finally, our last slide. And finally, God equipped David. If you notice what happens there is that Samuel comes along, he pours oil onto David, and then David gets filled with the Holy Spirit. David woke up that morning a shepherd. God said, I want you to be king of Israel. Quite a big deal. Quite a big ask on David's part. And God says, look, yeah, I want you to be the king of Israel. I want to take you out of that field looking after a flock of sheep. And I want you to look after the nation of Israel. Bit of a big step. But you're not going to do it by yourself because I'm going to equip you. And so I want us just to finish thinking this morning, whatever it is that God asks you to do, Stephen, climbing a mountain. I'm glad it's you and not me because I'm not very good on heights, okay? Stephen, God is going to equip you, yeah? Whatever it is, he's going to equip you. And I believe that there are some here this morning that you need to hear that voice of God. Whatever it is that he is calling you to do this morning, he is going to equip you. I believe that there are some this morning that God's saying, you feel a bit like David, left out looking after the sheep, forgotten about the rest of your family. And God's saying, you're part of my family. You're part of my family. And I'm not going to forget about you. And I'm not going to leave you out in the field looking after the sheep while the action's going on somewhere else. You're part of my family. And finally, I think there would be some here this morning who you need to hear that God sees your heart. It's not about your looks. It's not about, you know, what other people see in you. It's about what God sees in your heart. And he sees that devotion. Graham started this morning by saying, I was going to make a list of everybody that has been helpful recently. And then I realized that list. Graham, it would have been great if you'd done it, but you'd have got it wrong, mate. Yeah? Because you don't see the hearts of everyone. But God does. He sees those little things that nobody else sees. And he sees the devotion in your heart. So I just want to leave you with those words of encouragement this morning. Be encouraged. Be challenged, because God spoke to Samuel and he had to obey. He had to listen. But David heard and was equipped by God. Thanks, Graham.